thing I didn't anticipate that came out of this is when, we talked earlier about the parents. What's the parents' perception of the lab? Well, when I give the students this lab book, the parents are like, wow, this is actually a real curriculum that goes to the lab. And so it's really even helped with that perception of it being an important part of lessons.
You're watching Tim Topham TV, the Piano Teaching Podcast. This is episode 27. G'day everyone and welcome to the show. We've all got limited time in our studios, so when I hear about a new idea for ways of maximizing that time, I just have to share it with you. I also know that incorporating technology as a regular part of lessons can be a challenge, so when I find out about a curriculum designed especially for this, that's something that I know you guys are going to love to hear about. So today we're going to cover two fantastic projects that have been created by the fabulous Michelle Sizzler and her company, Keys to Imagination, the Lab Time concept and the curriculum that goes with it, and also the Music Ed Connect conference, of which I'm very happy to say that I'll be a part of this year. And make sure you stay tuned until the end because Michelle has kindly offered to give a discount to the Music Ed Connect online conference to the viewers of this show. Thank you very much, Michelle. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very good. Good to catch up with you again. So last time we were together in the same kind of space was at Chicago at the NCKP, and I very much enjoyed this session that we're going to kind of touch on a little bit today, where we're talking about lab time, this concept of lab time in the piano studio. And look, we all know that the piano teachers can find it particularly hard, I guess, to make using technology a regular part of their lessons because either they're not so familiar with it or they run out of time for it or whatever it is. So I love the fact that you've got this idea of a way of incorporating it as a regular part of lessons. The kids kind of know how it works. You know what you're doing. So can you just tell us a little bit more about this concept? Share the idea.
Oh, sure. So all of my students come for hour lessons. And during that time, they spend a half hour with me and then a half hour during their lab time. And the person that's in the lab is working independently while I teach another student. So it really expands our lesson time. I know a lot of teachers say, I don't have time for everything. And this is a great way to add time to your schedule and what you teach.
Okay. So let's say you've got, I don't know, Billy and Julia, your two students.
Yeah.
So Billy arrives at 3 p.m. Julia then arrives at what time? Where do they cross
it's
over?
So they both come in the door at the same time.
Okay.
One will start in lab, one will start in lessons, and then halfway through they switch.
Okay, great. Okay, so one of them, and the other thing I like about this is that it's not, you don't have to suddenly buy a whole new studio and 10 keyboards and whatever it is. It's actually, it's just another part. Is it a part of the same room or do you shut the door and let them work independently?
I have mine all as the same room.
Okay.
And it could be separate, but it's nice to have it in the same room because then you can kind of monitor what they're doing, even though you're not really watching them. Mm. And then if they have questions, they can easily ask and then get back to work.
Okay.
So it works pretty well that way.
Yeah, good. And you find that they tend to work independently. They don't keep asking you questions about or have
they
problems
do.
With
well,
things.
You know, amazingly, there's not as many questions as you might think there is. Usually it's what do I do next? Or I'm finished with this. What should I do? So if you plan ahead for that, you can avoid a lot of the common questions.
Okay. So let's just talk about some of the advantages, firstly, of incorporating this kind of concept. We've talked about one, you've got more time with the students. So you're having an hour with them, half an hour they're developing their own skills on technology, half an hour you're doing what is a normal piano lesson, I guess. So that's one advantage. What are some of the other advantages for teachers?
You know, one of the things is that this is the way students learn. And this is the way they're accustomed to learning, whether it be in school or, my kids have iPads at school. So this is natural for them and it's very exciting for them. So a lot of it's motivation. You know, they are excited to use these iPads as part of their lesson. They also make a lot more progress. So when you think about the extra half hour that they're spending, they could be working on concepts such as note reading or sight reading or, you know, all these different concepts we're trying to teach. So that's extra practice to help them make more progress. And then, of course, we are more equipped to teach various learning styles. So we can now target all the different ways students might learn. You know, maybe it's the way we explain it, but maybe an app will explain it and they'll understand it a little bit better. And then, of course, marketing, because now we can set ourselves apart from the teachers that aren't using technology and make that a really important part of our studio.
Yeah, right. So do you actually, you advertise this on your website, I assume, for when students come to look at you as a potential teacher?
Absolutely. Mm. Yep. I advertise that all of my lessons include a half hour technology lab.
Wow. I can imagine that just up straight up front, parents would be going, wow, yeah. And what about the cost to the students? Because I imagine this does this double the cost, or do you just add a sort of a half on or something like that?
We usually recommend charging 50% of your current rate. So for example, if you were charging $20 for a half hour lesson and you were going to add another half hour lab on, you would charge $30 for that new hour lesson.
Okay.
So a benefit
of the original,
So a benefit for the parents is they're getting double the time, but they're not paying double the cost.
Right. And that means that in the hour, let's go with that same figure that you were just using, you would be making $60.
That's right.
Instead of 40.
That's right.
Right. I'm liking the sound of this. This is cool. So what about some disadvantages? Have you come across any?
You know, I think there's mostly advantages. I think teachers think up front there's going to be a lot of disadvantages. And, you know, you have to be prepared. You have to be willing to put in some time as a teacher to set it up and learn the apps and things like that. But as far as the students are concerned, I haven't seen necessarily that it's a disadvantage
in
learning.
Yeah. What about the making the change? So let's say some of our teachers are listening and going, wow, this sounds like a cool idea, but I'm going to have to tell my parents that I'm changing to hour long and they're going to have to pay more. How do you manage that?
Good communication. Okay. You know, when you think about this, I think about the way I took piano lessons, and this was not a part of the way that I learned. So I take myself as an example and say, if a teacher came to me and said, okay, we're going to change the format, here's your new lesson time, here's your new lesson rate, I'd say, what for? Tell me about it. What are they going to be doing? And I think if you keep that communication open and explain all the reasons you're doing, all the benefits, what will the students be doing, and even have an open house and show them, you know, show them what you're doing, they'll understand and they'll buy into that. I think a lot of teachers are afraid. You know, they're afraid of telling those parents, they're afraid of losing students. And what we've found is that sometimes you lose one or two students, but it's usually the people that were going to quit anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's surprising for most teachers.
Mm. I think, I mean, with most of these kind of things, if you can explain the benefits well enough, and it's not an outrageous amount, then, you know, if parents are supportive of a musical education, then they should at least consider it, you'd think.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So we've talked about how it can affect the bottom line financially. What about in the amount of time teachers might have to now start planning for doing this? Or is it just a larger amount up front, perhaps, and then it's not so bad ongoing?
And exactly. I found that, you know, getting your lab going might take a little bit more time. You know, just even things like figuring out, how do I do this? What, you know, how do I set it up? What apps do I use? I have to communicate with parents. So you have that time up front. But once you get going and you are familiar with the apps and you're familiar with everything, it goes pretty good. And especially with our DoubleClick curriculum, because it's all done for you. Mm-hmm. And so up front, I would say, you know, even if you don't have an iPad, it's finding out what iPad should I get and what keyboard should I get and all of these things that take that time. And then the more experience you're at, probably just like teaching, it becomes easier every week.
Yep, yep.
Spend less time on the research part of it.
Yeah, yep. Okay, so one other thing I was thinking then, you know, let's say perhaps the teacher is teaching at a school mostly and only has like a couple of private students and they don't overlap with their lessons. Does the concept still work?
So you could still have students doing these things at home if you wanted to.
Okay.
So even the way our curriculum is designed, you could assign it at home as well as in the studio, or just at home or just the studio.
Okay.
Probably the only thing to consider is that now the students have to buy all the apps.
Right.
Or subscribe to the different websites and things like that. So there's an extra cost to the parents, but they're still getting the benefit. They're still helping you as a teacher because they're doing some of that homework at home, making your job a little bit easier. When they're practicing or when they're learning some of those theory concepts.
Yeah.
So they could do it that way too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, no, that's good to know because, you know, for people perhaps even just starting a studio, they only have a couple of students or whatever it is, it might be good to use it at home too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, before we talk about the curriculum, because I'm really excited to get to that, what about the equipment that you would need to run this?
So if you're a teacher looking to start a lab, I would recommend an iPad and some headphones for your students that are working independently, and a keyboard. And the keyboard is kind of up to you what you want to choose, you know, what you choose to purchase.
Okay.
So it could be something fairly inexpensive or something expensive.
What is that, your phone?
Excuse me.
I was trying to work out what the tune, what's it playing? What is that?
It's the phone. I don't know what it is.
No, I don't. I thought it was, I was trying to work out what the song was or something that was playing.
I don't know.
So, I obviously an iPad, and sorry, did you say keyboard as well? A digital piano of some sort?
Because a lot of the apps are interactive with the keyboard.
Okay.
And so you plug the iPad into your keyboard and they work interactively.
Okay, great. And so I guess just thinking about that means that, I mean, a new iPad these days is probably, I don't know, 600 or something, I don't know, mm-hmm. over there. And a digital piano that's decent, it's going to be 2000 or something, probably in Australian dollars anyway.
Yeah, so much to buy.
Yeah, okay, so there is a little bit of upfront investment, but obviously that repays itself as you start getting more income in, I guess.
Yeah, and we said, you know, we did a chart one time and it said, if you charge that $10 per student and you have 30 students, let's say, and you have 35 lessons a year, you would bring in like $10,000 extra income. So when you compare that to your initial investment of even $3,000 or $4,000, it's going to pay for itself even that first year.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the apps. I mean, we don't need to go into too much detail, but just because student teachers and I'm kind of wondering, I wonder if I'm using some of these apps already with my students, but not in such a organized way. What are some of the main ones you use?
Piano Maestro has become really popular. It's been a great way for students in the studio to practice as well as at home.
Yep.
A good motivator. It's been nice for me as a teacher because with that hold on mode, I can send them home and say, work on this song, and they can work on it accurately. So that's been really nice. The kids also really enjoy doing Flash Note Derby for their note reading. Mm-hmm. And a newer one that's out is called Rhythm Swing.
Oh, yeah.
And so Rhythm Swing, the kids have really enjoyed that and telling me all about this boss mode they're getting into and all excited about beating that, those levels. And then, you know, they're not all about being all cute like Rhythm Swing and Flash Note Derby. So we have things like Tenuto for some more advanced kids or older students, maybe even adult students. And let me think of some other ones that we've used. Let me grab a chart.
Yeah, sure.
And look at what we've used. Oh, and even like Aurelian Musician have been made into apps. So those are good.
That's a pretty good overview in any case. So the activities they're doing, they're obviously kind of rhythm-based. It's note reading, pitch identification. Is that, am I on the right track?
Yes. It could be sight reading, music history. You know, kind of a wide variety of things.
Yeah, it sounds great. I just love the idea, leaving aside the bottom line, which is always a great thing for piano teachers, but the fact that the student is getting an extra half hour of organized, structured learning that's going to benefit them in their piano lesson.
Yeah, and it makes education. It easier for me as a teacher too.
Yeah.
You know, and it frees up some of that lesson time. So let's say instead of going through flashcards, I might say, okay, during lab, we're going to be working on note naming activities. So now during that lesson, I can work on, you know, maybe helping them with dynamics or something in their song, something that iPad can't do. So we never want that lab to replace what we're doing. We just want to supplement it.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's exactly doing that very thing. It's great. All right. So you've got to tell me about the double click curriculum, because this was kind of jaw dropping for a lot of people in your session at Chicago, because one of those big challenges of going to conferences is you get all these fantastic ideas and you come back and you go, oh, I've got no idea what to do. How do I organize this? So you guys have actually put together a whole curriculum. So for teachers that are interested in this concept of lab time, you don't even need to plan what your students do. So tell us about this. This is exciting.
This has been really cool. So I've been doing a lab in my studio probably about 15 years. And I felt like I always knew the software well at that time, now the apps. But I always felt like sometimes I'd forget what is included exactly in that app or that particular lesson. And so this idea of coming up with a curriculum was really important to me as a teacher. I didn't want to feel like I was just pulling lessons out of the air. And, you know, they get to things that, oh, whoops, I didn't know that had eighth notes. You haven't learned eighth notes yet. So we came up with this curriculum. And Michelle Galindo has been a phenomenal author in helping with this. She is has just done a lot of research in what apps are even good. So the first thing that benefits the teachers is, you know, you see these lists and lists and lists of apps. It's like, how do I even know what to pick? And she's done all that homework for us. So I just go to her, I say, tell me what I need to be using. And she's done that homework for us. And then what it does is it says, okay, if you're teaching page eight, let's say, out of Faber 2A, here's the app you do it. Here's the exact lesson you'll assign for all of these different concepts. So all the work is done for you. And one of the things that's made it really helpful for teachers is there's columns. So you have an A column. And you just mark A for assigned, say to your students, do this, this, and this. And remember how we talked about the number one question being, what do I do next? So you just give them more than you think they're going to get done.
Yep.
And then they'll mark C when they complete it and then add their score. So now you can go back the next week and say, oh, you've done this, this, and this. Now let's do this. So you've got now a tracking of what they've even done, how their scores are. Compare it to a target score so you know what that 3,000 points really means.
Yep.
And you can help them, you know, find the next lesson.
Great. And I think I've found a video online of how this works too. So we better put a link to that definitely in the show notes. So you mentioned this works in line with Faber. Does it work with Piano Adventures? Is that Piano Adventures?
Faber is Piano Adventures. Yep. We do have it directly correlated with Faber Piano Adventures and Alfred Premier.
Oh, great.
But we found teachers still use it with other methods because most methods teach in a similar fashion.
Sure.
And so the page numbers might not match, but all the concepts do.
Okay. But if you are using the Faber Alfred's?
Alfred Premier.
You've actually got page reference numbers, have you?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. Page by page, concept by concept, really taking into consideration what has the student learned?
Yeah.
You know, have they learned that all the concepts in this particular unit yet?
So look, I love this because I know that my followers love step-by-step kind of plans, particularly when they get started. I totally understand. So this sounds, you know, as a perfect way to get started. Is it one book or a series of books, the DoubleClick curriculum?
There's a series of books. Each book matches the lesson book. So if you are working out of a primer book, there'll be a primer DoubleClick curriculum to match, and even the colors match. So level one will have a level one book. So every time the student gets a new lesson book, they'll get a new DoubleClick book.
Got it.
To correlate right along with it.
I can't imagine how long this took you to put together.
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to Michelle because she's been a big help in this. So yeah. Between the two of us.
it's great. And it's exactly what teachers need to get started. So fantastic work in putting it together.
Thank you.
So what about how much are the books approximately?
They're $9.95.
Oh, great.
And those are student books, so the students will pay for those just like their other books.
Okay. And does that mean there's a teacher version as well?
There is not. There's just the student version.
Cool.
So the teachers can buy a set for their reference. We do have reproducible versions as well.
Okay. The student actually marks in their book, you mentioned, you know, ticking off where they're at and writing their results and that sort of thing. Yeah, it sounds good.
Something I didn't anticipate that came out of this is when, you know, we talked earlier about the parents. What's the parents' perception of the lab? Well, when I give the students this lab book, the parents are like, wow, this is actually a real curriculum that goes to the lab. Mm. And so it's really even helped with that perception of it being an important part of lessons.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It gives it a little bit more credibility, doesn't it? It's not like my kid's playing with an iPad for half an hour.
That's right.
yeah, I can really see that. Okay, so cost up front, let's say we've got the book for the student, $10. Mm-hmm. You need to have an iPad. Mm-hmm. The apps, most of them are not that expensive from my experience, so...
Yeah,
be less than $50 or something.
Right. Yeah. 99 cents to $1.99 an app, and you know.
And then digital piano, but I know a lot of teachers already have one. And you're ready to go. You could just try it out. And would it be worth, you know, rather than, you know, let's say you've got a studio of 40 students already, could teachers try this out with four kids and just see how it goes?
Sure, they could. Usually we do recommend that you make it a requirement in your studio.
Okay.
And the reason is that people sometimes don't realize what they're missing, you know, before they try it. They'll kind of say, no, I don't want to do that, and they don't really understand what they're missing out on. So make it a requirement. But if you just want to get going and you're overwhelmed by this idea, you know, maybe you start with a few students. Maybe you start over the summer. Or there was a teacher in Louisiana that had something really cool. She started her lab in April, which seems kind of like an odd time of year because the school year ends in May here. Mm-hmm. And she said for April and May, you can sign up for the lab. It's optional. But you sign up and you come every week. It's not, you know, you can come when you want. And then in the fall, it'll be a requirement. So this was her way of getting a few students using it, kind of training herself, training her kids before she made it a requirement in the fall. So that, I thought, was a really interesting way of tackling that.
Yeah. And how did you follow up and find out how it went?
Yes, I did. She didn't think she'd have too many people signing up in April, and she said most of her students did.
Fantastic.
And so that made it a lot easier to transition. Yeah.
Right. And so when she reopened her studio in September, it was just like, this is how it works.
Yeah.
I wonder, did she lose any students? Do you know?
That I'm not sure of.
Yeah.
Because of the lab, she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
She lost a bunch of students or something. But yeah, usually teachers are more afraid of that than it really happens.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, look, fantastic. I totally love this idea. I think you've done such a good job of it. And when I was in your session, I was like, oh, this is very cool. Very cool. And you also showed us some of these other, you've got other apps that you were kind of demonstrating where you can kind of write on your iPad and it comes up on someone else's computer and things like this. Is that in the book, or was that just some other fun stuff you were showing us?
That one is probably not in the book because that's more of a group app.
Yeah.
But I'm actually doing that session at Music Ed Connect. So if people want to see some of those things, that might be a good place to get more ideas.
What a brilliant segue, because I was about to. So for those of you who don't know, Michelle and the Keys to Imagination run the Music Ed Connect conference. And this must be the third year, perhaps?
Third year.
And now this conference is 100% online, guys. So you don't need to actually leave your house to come and listen to all these amazing speakers. And you've got some of the best. The ones that you would otherwise pay at a conference, you'd end up paying $1,000 or more with your accommodation and travel and everything. They're all going to be available online. I just totally love this idea. So tell us about it. How did you come to create it?
You know, it was one of those moments that I said, I wish I could, you know, I wish I could sit here in my pajamas and watch all these sessions and, you know, and give it time to digest. Or, you know, sometimes it was even a matter of, geez, I've watched this great session, but I don't remember what they said about a particular concept. I wish I could go back and rewatch it. And so it kind of came from those I wish moments. And so we came to create this online conference that takes place live in February, and the attendees can interact with the presenters, ask questions. Everything's also recorded. So you can go back and rewatch sessions, or for I know a lot of people in Australia, the time doesn't work out. So a lot of them have replay passes. They just watch the videos on their own time. But either way, you get the videos for an entire year. So you can watch and rewatch as many times as you want to on your own time.
I love it. Totally get the idea. And yeah, not only are you, as you say, in your pajamas with your glass of wine or whatever it is that you like, but the idea of being able to rewatch is so important. And I think that's why online training, which is what I enjoy doing as well, and creating, is so popular, because, you know, you can just watch 10 minutes and go, oh, you know what, I'm going to try that this week. And then you can come back again and try another thing. It's just brilliant. And it does save a little bit of that overwhelm that you get at conferences of trying to remember and incorporate these, you know, thousands of good ideas that you found out about. So how does the technology work from the teacher's end?
Well, from the teacher's end, so we use a service that's designed for large online meetings or webinars and events like this. And so when the teacher logs onto the live session, they will see the presenter's video as they're presenting live from wherever they are. I haven't had anybody on a beach yet, but I'm guessing someday we might have somebody presenting from a beach or somewhere fun.
I'll see what I can do. It is my summer.
Yeah. I don't think you want to see me in a snowbank, but. And then they will also see the presenter's PowerPoint or keynote or videos or whatever they're presenting right alongside of it.
That's great. Are there multiple streams at once or just one at a time?
There's one session at a time. Great. So they don't have to worry about missing out on something else, like live difficult. Conference. Mm-hmm. And then they can also chat with each other. They can ask questions of the presenters and things like that through a chat. And one of the things that was really interesting about the chat that we didn't expect was that people started chatting with each other and really gained some friends and some new colleagues and got some new ideas from each other, which was really fun.
Great. So is there a list of the other people who are in that session that you can see?
Yeah, you can see the names of the people.
Oh, that's right. There you go. And you can sort of double click on them and open a chat with that person.
Yeah. Cool. Or you can send it to everybody, say, who has a great idea for this?
Yeah. And in the same way, you can ask the presenter a question and it'll pop up on their screen.
Yes.
Great. I'm really looking forward to this. So what about some of the benefits for teachers other than being able to sit in your pajamas?
We talked about some of them being able to rewatch it at any time. They'll be able to download handouts and follow along with that. We do have an exhibit hall, so you'll get to go through different or see different products and services that are out there that you might not be aware of. And of course, just the session presenters themselves. It's just amazing the variety from technology to technique to pop music to everything is so cool that they'll be able to find sessions that are applicable.
And who are some of the key speakers that you've got?
Oh my gosh. I would have to list them all because they're all so good. Somebody.
How many are there? How many sessions?
Six sessions.
Wow.
And I think there's 23, 24 presenters.
That's great.
So lots of great sessions that are happening.
And the keynotes, can you remember them off the top of your head?
Yes. Pete Jutras is doing our keynote, and it's called Head. And so he's taking a look at what the future of piano teaching is.
Sounds like
so I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I met Pete as well at the Chicago conference. If anyone hasn't got the idea from me yet that they need to go to the NCKP conference, then you're not watching enough podcasts. You got to go. You meet all these fantastic people, so I'll be looking forward to seeing Pete in action.
I'll agree with that. NCKP is wonderful.
Really is very good. While we speak about other conferences, MTNA, do you go to that?
Every other year we started going to that one.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay, so let's talk about cost now. We've already mentioned that we don't have to fly, we don't have to accommodate, we don't have to feed ourselves. Well, not at hotel restaurants anyway. What's the cost of the conference?
To attend the live conference, it's $149, but that includes the entire live conference, the networking Saturday, and all the session recordings for a year. If you would like just a replay pass, it's $129, and that still gets you access to all of the sessions for the entire year.
Great. Now, you mentioned something else there, Saturday technology, or Saturday something.
Saturday networking. So what we do on Saturday is some of the presenters will take some time, whether it be a half hour, an hour, and jump online and answer questions from attendees and give ideas. And it's just a really good way for presenters to network with attendees and attendees to network with each other.
Okay.
So it's kind of a more informal. There's no planned sessions.
Okay. But everyone knows that you can all jump on at 10 a.m. or whatever it is, and as many presenters as will be there, and you can connect with any of them. Is that how it works?
Each one usually takes their own segment. Right. Just kind of, so we have a leader in each time.
Oh, okay. So it's still a time thing, but it's not really a presentation as much as, hey, ask me some questions or whatever.
And sometimes it turns into nothing that the presenter talked about in their session, but hey, I have a question about this. Do you have any ideas on this?
Cool.
And sometimes it's related to the session.
And I guess that's useful if you couldn't attend that session for whatever reason, that you could still get your chance to ask, because you can't ask questions on a replay, so you could still ask that presenter a question if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice idea. Okay, so we've got $149. These are US dollars. $149 for the full conference live. I assume you get replay access in any case with that. Right. Or if you're perhaps in Australia and the times don't work so well, you can just buy the replay pass for $129 US.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Okay. Now, what are the dates of this?
February 2nd through 6th.
Okay. And that's a Tuesday, is that right?
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
through Saturday. Okay. So Tuesday is our Technology Tuesday. So all the sessions on Tuesday are technology related. And unique to that date, we have some what we're calling 30-30 sessions. One of the things that we find when people go to a technology session is you get through about half of the session before you get overwhelmed with all that technology. So and you true. Know what the first half is, but you couldn't tell you what happened in the second half. So we're going to be doing some sessions where they're live for 30 minutes, giving you some great basic information, get you started. And then when you're ready for the second half, you can watch the video second half, say, okay, now I'm ready for the rest. I'm ready for the next step. So we're going to break that down so it's a little bit easier to comprehend and implement.
So each session is live for 30 minutes?
They're not. Some of them are 30. Some are 30-30 sessions,
right.
And some are more long sessions.
Okay, but there's a live component, and then you go and absorb, and then you can come back and watch the rest.
Right.
Nice idea. I really like that you've taken some of the problems that we all have at conferences, and everyone knows them, but not many people. It's very hard to do anything about when you're at a proper live conference, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you've just gone, how can we actually make this more...
more accessible.
Yeah, more accessible and more useful, I guess, in that you do have this time to absorb things and being able to watch these sessions for a whole year, I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Really, really good. Okay, so I think we probably need to talk. I reckon you mentioned to me that you had a little special offer for viewers, so I'm very excited to hear this.
So if you use the code PODCAST16, you will get $20 off your registration. Fantastic. And that will be good for until January 21st.
Whoops, sorry about that, guys. We just need to update the date of the coupon expiry, which is actually January 29. So you've got 1 week from the date of this podcast to make sure you grab your $20 discount to Music Ed Connect. Great stuff. Okay, and does that work for the replay and the live?
Live and replay.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. That's a really good deal. So basically you're getting a full conference for $139.
Yes.
Absolute bargain. And a year's worth of PD. I think it's great. and look, although I wasn't presenting last year, I enjoyed watching, you shared with me some of the videos and, they're fantastic. So, if you've got any hesitations about, being able to access them or the quality of the videos, there's nothing to worry about because Michelle has streamlined this whole thing. It's great.
Thank you.
Okay, so you better tell us a little bit more about where to go now to find out more for your DoubleClick and also the Music Ed Connect.
Yeah, so the DoubleClick curriculum is available on the Keys to Imagination website. Okay. So that website is keystoimagination.com. And the Music Ed Connect site is just www.musicedconnect.com. And on that site, you will find the entire lineup. So all the sessions, all the presenters' pictures, all their bios, and a place to register.
Fantastic. So look, I just wanted to ask, was there anything that with regard to the lab time, firstly, that I didn't ask you that would be good that teachers should know about or anything like that, or did we cover everything?
I think we covered a lot of good information.
Great. Yeah. And look, I really encourage teachers, go and have a look at Michelle's DoubleClick curriculum. We'll pop the link in the show notes, so make sure you check that out. And just get an idea, get a feel for it. And I guess the other thing too is if you weren't keen to start it off with your whole studio and just go bang, it sounds like you could even try it with some students using it at home while you get your head around the apps.
Yeah,
trial it with a student and then you can go, okay, let's try it out in the studio. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. And what about for the Music Ed Connect? I think we covered everything there too.
I think so. There is more information on the website if people would like more details.
Great. And the special code again was PODCAST16 for that $20 off. Very kind of you to offer. Much appreciate that. And as usual, we'll have show notes for this episode and all those links, codes and whatnot at timtopham.com/episode27. And as always, I would love for you as viewers, if you've got the chance and you're enjoying these episodes, please head to iTunes. You can find out about leaving a review. by heading to timtopham.com/iTunes. We've got some great reviews coming through. In fact, I'm going to read one out next episode because there's a few really funny ones there too. It's great. So, Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And I really look forward to hanging out with you at Music Ed Connect.
Awesome. Thanks.
Sounds good. All right. We'll speak to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks. All
right. See you later.